Life is like a mountain railway with an engineer that's brave. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch for curves, hills, and valleys. Never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Oh, blessed Savior,
glad that you're here today. Appreciate you coming to share in our service today. Just a very special quick word of appreciation. You just blew me away last week, and I appreciate everybody who helped to make our Easter Sunday service such a special time. Beginning this evening, 7 o'clock, we have had several people approach me about sharing their testimony. How do you tell people about Jesus? So we're going to do a four-part study on take four Sunday nights and talk about what it is to tell your story. Tell your story, okay? about how we share the gospel with people who need to know Jesus. So that's at 7 o'clock tonight. It's like I said, we'll take about 30, 45 minutes and give you some, hopefully, some encouragement and some help of being able to share Jesus with other people. The sad truth is, less than 1 in 100 Christians will ever deliberately and intentionally share the gospel, share the story of Jesus' salvation with somebody else. That's sad. That's incredibly sad. So we want to encourage you. Come and join together with us this evening. Tell your story. This coming Wednesday night, our fellowship dinner at 6 o'clock, the emphasis this coming Wednesday night will be on chicken. I'm a Baptist preacher. Fried chicken. Chicken dishes. Chicken dishes of any kind. 6 o'clock. Come and join together with us on Wednesday night, youth class following that. This coming Thursday, ladies, the Bible study. Beth and her group are starting a new study shortly. I don't know if you picked a subject topic yet, but anyway, Beth's shaking her head, yeah. So, ladies, dive in with them. They meet on Thursdays at noon every week. Encourage you to come be a part of that. This Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, our men's breakfast. Guys, we don't encourage you to come. We always look forward to I personally look for one of the best favorite things that we do. So I encourage you guys to come Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, time of breakfast and fellowship, and sharing the Word of God together. Encourage you to come be a part of that. If you pulled in this morning, you noticed the new playground equipment. Robert and his guys have been working real hard on that, and it looks amazing out there, Robert. It looks just simply amazing. Yeah. By the way, moms, unless you want to have a real disaster, don't let them go out there this morning. Those little clumps of red, they stick on everything. They're permanent dye, okay? The permanent dye. So, but anyway, we'll have that all ready for you in the very short near future. We're looking forward to that. We've got other things. You've noticed concrete work in different places around our building, dirt work around the building, the willows and whatever it was down in the corner down there. The jungle is no longer there, so lots of things going on, and we're fixing to move inside. We're going to replace the lights in here. We're going to clean the carpet. We're going to do some work on the ceiling tile. We've got lots of projects ahead of us, so keep our building fund in mind as we take care of these things. Any other announcements? Any other announcements? Brother Leroy's got one. And as he's coming, by the way, you can find mushrooms right now.
Okay, my special announcement this morning is on the 9th, our pastor, Brother Mike, is going to turn 71 years young. That's right. So next Sunday we will be taking a love offering up for Brother Mike for his birthday. And I think you all know the routine, everything. In our offering plate next Sunday, the cash will go to him. And if you want your check to go to Mike, just in the memo line, write Mike, and that check will go to him. But anyway, we will remind you again next Sunday. Thank you.
When I was about 16, 17 years old, one of the members of my older family, my extended family, had a 70th birthday. And I thought to myself, my goodness, how old they are. How old they are. And then God reminded me, buddy, you better be careful. You're liable not to make 70. So when I turned 70, that was a special treat. Every year I look at birthdays not as a problem, but as a blessing. Birthdays are a blessing. I get to be around to aggravate you for one more year. So anyway, yeah, thank you for that. Any other announcements now this morning? In our Sunday school this morning, 79 were present. Our Sunday school offering is $430. And besides me and my daughter Michelle, who had a birthday today, any other birthdays or anniversaries you share with us? Peanut's going to come with.
Let's stand and sing this morning.
Happy birthday to you.
Let's turn and welcome everyone this morning. Join with us, the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this song. I'm a part.
Father, we come into your presence this day with glad hearts and lifted spirits and know that we are in your presence to feel your spirit as it moves in our lives and our hearts. And we pray that we will not do anything to keep that spirit from having free course, that he will be able to share with us today the message that you want us to hear. Father, may your word, the music, all that we do, Father, lift up our Savior Jesus Christ and glorify him. We pray in his name. Amen.
All right, we'll continue this morning with just a closer walk with thee.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea.
Now, if you'll stand with me, we'll turn over to our offertory hymn this morning, which will be The Sweet By and By.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father went over the way to prepare us a dwelling place.
By and by,
we shall meet on that beautiful shall sing on that beautiful shore. The melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall follow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rain in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. The tribute of praise and the glorious gift of His grace and the blessings that hallow our days in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
No more pain, I will rise.
say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. Right now I'm losing that. Stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it will be alright. Right now, I just can't. It's easy to see when there's nothing to bring me down. What will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able and I know you can. Safe through the fire with your mind held. Even if you don't, my hope is you alone. They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. A good thing, a little faith is all. Right now, God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, give me the strength to be able to sing His way with my soul. I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. You've been faithful, you've been good all my days. Jesus, I will cling to you. Come what may, 'cause I know you're able. I know you can. I know you're able and I know you can. Save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you.
Couple of quick announcements. John says that the Falls Creek sign-up list is open and available. If you're planning to go to Falls Creek this year, you need to get your name on that list. We have a limited number of spaces available there, so see John and Michelle to get your name on that Falls Creek sign-up. That's the first full week of July after the week that has the 4th of July in it, okay? Whatever that week is. I don't know what the particular dates are. And then a real urgent announcement. Don't look for mushrooms in my spot. Oh, no. No, I'll share them with you. I'll share. We talk about sharing our testimony with people. We live in a culture, live in a time when the presentation of the gospel, the presentation of God's love, of Jesus' plan of salvation, is not as widely received by the world as it once was back when I was younger. So we are going to be dealing with a world that is becoming increasingly more resistant and hostile to what we'll have to share with them about how to be saved, how to know Jesus as your personal Savior. So the question that I want us to look at today, what does it take? What does it take to be bold for Jesus? What does it take to be bold for Jesus? In the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, the disciples after the day of Pentecost had been busy. They'd been taking the gospel everywhere they had an opportunity, in houses, in the synagogue, and on the street corner, wherever they went and preached about Jesus. Naturally, some of the people were very receptive. Some of the people wanted to hear this great message of God's grace and His salvation. They wanted to hear it. But there were certain individuals within their community who did not take this preaching easily and would not respond to it in a positive way. And the tragedy of it was the chief instigators of this contention, of this opposition, was the church. It was the established church who fought against this new, by grace are you saved through faith preaching. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want it to be spread. Why? Because it took away from their control, from their power. And they didn't want it to happen. Fourth chapter of the book of Acts says, "And they spake unto the people, Peter and John, the priests and the captains of the temple, the Sadducees, came upon them as they spake. They were being grieved that they taught the people and they preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So they laid hands on them and they put them in hold." That means prison until the next day. "For it was now evening time. Howbeit, many of them which had heard the word believed. And the number of men, was about 5,000. Wow. Amazing. "Came to pass on the next day that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem, and they set them in their midst. They asked this question, by what power or by what name have you done this?" That's going to be a question that you're going to have to be prepared to deal with. By whose authority are you sharing this? Are you speaking this? "So Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done, done to the impotent man, and by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, who God has raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you here whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, but is now become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." What a statement to make about the character of these men. They had been with Jesus. So what does it take for me, for you, to be able with boldness to stand and share the story of salvation? To share the great news, Jesus saves, with the world that for the most part, indifferent. They don't really care. Some part, openly hostile. And some part, warm and receptive. What does it take? It is not the false bravado that we see in the book of Matthew. When they came to the place where Jesus is about to die, he's come to the Garden of Gethsemane. After they had the Lord's Supper together, in the 26th chapter of Matthew, we have these words recorded. They had sung a hymn. They went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, "All of you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." So Peter stood up and said unto him, "Though all men be offended because of you, I will never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "I'm going to tell you the truth, Peter. This night, before the cock crows, you will deny me, not once, three times." Peter, "Though I would die with you," he said, "yet will I not deny you." Likewise, said all the disciples. Is that what you need? What happened to Peter? What happened to Peter when they arrested Jesus? He ran into the shadows, didn't he? And sure enough, just like Jesus said on three different occasions during the course of the night and all the things that happened to Jesus, he denied him. And then finally, at the very last time, he swore an oath. He used bad words. "I don't know him." What happened to the rest of the disciples? The Bible says they all ran away. Yeah, first time you run into a problem, the first time somebody challenges you, the first somebody stands up and says, "Okay, buddy, bring what you got. What are you going to do? You who have beat your chest and said, to the death, I will never, never deny the Lord." And yet, my friends, the truth is, we do it every day. When we fail to take the opportunities that God presents us with. Now listen to me. If you get serious about this, if you're serious about sharing Jesus with the world, I promise you that God will provide opportunity. He will cause encounters. He will bring you into contact with people and individuals out of the clear blue sky. Something that you haven't even thought about. You will have the opportunity to tell your story. If you're serious about it. So what does it take? What does it take? This is what it takes to know and love Jesus. That's the beginning. That's the foundation. How can you share something that you don't know anything about? That you don't have a personal experience about? How could you share something that you have no knowledge of? To know and to love Jesus is what it will take for me, for you, to be bold about Jesus. In the book of 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse number 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect." Now listen, "that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Our boldness will come from an intimate, personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The more you love him, the more you experience his love for you, the more you share that love, the greater your boldness will become. You see, the person of Jesus gives us boldness. The person of Jesus gives us boldness. 28th chapter of Matthew, verse number 20. Jesus made a promise to his disciples as he commissioned them to go and share their testimony. He said, "I will be with you always. I will be with you always, even unto the end of the time, of end of the world." Jesus will be with you. To know that the man that you're talking about And if you got any questions, you can refer him to him. He's with you. He'll help you out. I'll be honest with you. I'm at a loss for words on a lot of things. I'm at a loss for words. Okay? I don't know what to say. I don't know how to approach it. But the Bible tells us that at that time that we come to a place where we don't know what to say because Jesus is with us, the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. So the person of Jesus, to know that He, no matter where you go, no matter what encounter you're facing, no matter what trial or tribulation or difficulty you may be dealing with, Jesus will be there with you. I'm with you always. The plan of Jesus gives us boldness. In the book of John, the 20th chapter, we read these words. If I can get turned to it here. Chapter number 20, begin with me in 21st verse. Then Jesus said to them, "Peace be unto you as my Father hath sent me. Even so, send I you." What did God send Jesus to do? What did God send Jesus to do? To be a good man? Which He was. To be a great teacher? Which He was. To do miracles? Which He did. Was that why God sent Jesus? Those were a part of the thing, but that wasn't the plan. The plan of God when He sent Jesus to the earth was to live, die, and rise again so that all, as many as would receive Him, could be saved. That's why He sent Him. And that same message, that same purpose, that same plan that God had for His Son, Jesus Christ, says, "I'm turning it over to you." So what is your plan? What is your plan? Your plan better be that people get saved. I've told you a million times. Well, I exaggerate. 999,999. I've told you that many times. If anything we do as a church, anything, does not have as its end, not have as its goal, not as its reason for doing, that people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we need to quit doing it. Or change how we're doing it. Because that's our plan. That's what Jesus came to do, and He said, "I'm passing it on. My Father sent me to do this. I'm sending you to do this now." We are now His ambassadors. We are the ones who take the plan that God had for Jesus and share it with the world. That is our duty. That is our responsibility. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." Do you understand what He just said there? You and I, committed to us, is the power of life and death for men and women who we encounter, who we have opportunity, who you and I, God presents to us that great blessed privilege of sharing the gospel. If we do our job, they get saved. If we don't do our job, now listen to me, they go to hell. They go to hell. That's on us. That's God's plan. If we understand that, if we take that plan seriously, we will have boldness. Now listen, there have been people in my life, I really don't want to say that they are my enemies. I can't really say they're my enemies. But there are people that for some reason or another, that my nature, my character, whatever, and theirs just don't come together, right? You know people like that in your life? That for some reason or another, you just don't, you can't make it work, right? So we avoid them, right? We try to stay away from them as much as we can and whatever. But I promise you this with all my heart. I would not, for my worst enemy in those situations, to face an eternity of separation from God in hell. I want everybody to be saved. I want people to be able to come and share in life everlasting in the presence of God Almighty. That's my prayer. That's my hope. That's what I want for all people. Even those I don't particularly like and who don't particularly like me. So you see, there will be times that God is going to present to me an opportunity to share my story about Jesus died to save me with them so that they can experience the same joy and hope that I have. That plan gives me boldness to be able to share that with those that I really don't have much else to do with. I still want them to go to heaven. I still want them to go to heaven. The power of Jesus gives us boldness. In the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, begin with verse 17. We give thanks that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. He gave it that power over all things to the church. That's us, folks. Now, what did God do in Jesus? What did God do in Jesus? All power is given to me in heaven and earth. What kind of power is this? The greatest evidence of this awesome, unbelievable, unimaginable power was when the stone rolled away and Jesus walked out of the tomb. Listen, a God who has that kind of power, the power that was given to Jesus to rise from the dead, to take captivity captive, to take the keys of death and hell, to claim His place of authority and power at the right hand of God. I have that power. Listen, folks, if you're saved, you have that power. Death has no claim on you. The grave does not hold the end for you. It's simply a transition. It's a changing from something that is flesh and blood, which cannot inherit the kingdom of God, into something that can, an eternal living spirit in the presence of God. I have that power. You have that power. Because I've got that kind of power, why am I afraid? Why am I timid? Why would I be hesitant about sharing this glorious truth with the world that's around me? Boldness. boldness as we come to a time of invitation this morning. In the book of Acts, the first chapter, after the 28th chapter of Matthew, 18 through 20, was the commission, the great commission of Christ to his disciples. We recognize that. This is similar to it. This is just before, just immediately before, he ascends from the earth to be in heaven with God forever. He gathered his disciples together, and this is what he says. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You shall be witnesses unto me. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? Well, let's see what happened when they did that. 29th verse of the 4th chapter of the book of Acts. The disciples kept preaching, even after getting beaten, even after getting thrown in jail, even after getting warned, you can't do this anymore, guys. We're not going to take it easy on you. Suffered great abuse because they did and wouldn't refuse. They would not give up. So, here they are. And now, verse number 29. Behold their threatenings. You know how they warned us. And these are people who are in authority. I mean, basically, the truth is they got the power of life and death over these guys. I mean, they can have them killed if they want to. All right? Behold their threatenings. Look what they ask for. Did they ask for God to keep them safe? Did they ask for God to hide them? Did they ask for God to remove their problems? No. Grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in your name and by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Now listen. Grant us boldness. We're going to keep doing what you tell us to do. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. God's moving things. God's moving things, okay? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Folks, can we pray for boldness today? Can we ask God earnestly, honestly, God, help me step up. Help me take my responsibility seriously. God, today, let me not shrink back in fear, uncertainty, maybe not being real sure. God, give me boldness that I may speak your word. Because what happens when we do, God's going to fill you up. He's going to fill you up with the Holy Spirit. He's going to set you on fire. What's the result of that? People get saved. You know anybody? You know anybody personally, individually, who if they died today would go to hell? Think about that. Somebody in your house. A good friend of yours. Somebody you work with. Or maybe the stranger on the street corner. Any of those people you want to see go to hell? Any of those people you'd be okay with saying, okay, I don't care about you. Go to hell. Or do we want to see people saved? Do we want to see people saved? boldness for Jesus. That's what it takes. Do you want what it takes as we stand together today?
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is your son.